Live from Chicago, this is Bruce Dumont with our Beyond the Beltway analysis of national politics, with occasional injections of rumor and innuendo, all offered up by our panel of political insiders, pundits, power brokers, public servants, and most importantly, plain-speaking Americans from coast to coast. Tonight featuring commentary by conservative Marty Garrity, liberal John McCarron, and journalist Carol Felsenthal. And our phone lines remain open at 1-800-723-8289, coming to you from the Sirius XM studios on Chicago's Great West Side. Again, the phone lines open at 1-800-723-8289. If you'd like to email us a comment, it's btb@museum.tv. btb@museum.tv. And if you'd like to join us on the World Wide Web, it's www.beyondthebeltway.com. And again, we present both the audio and, in many cases, the video streaming portion of the program. Tonight's program is not being produced for television, so you don't look around for the video portion of this program. But generally speaking, we keep that available to you for many, many weeks at beyondthebeltway.com. We're going to begin. We're going to talk about a variety of things. North Korea. We'll be talking also about, obviously, the confirmation process of President Obama's choice to head to the Supreme Court. And we're going to begin there by talking about just the general process. In the history of this program and in the history of, obviously, covering presidential politics, I mean, there is a portion of their respective administrations where we talk about the process of nominating and confirming a member of the Supreme Court. And thus far, much of the focus on Sonia Sotomayor, insofar as the alleged controversy surrounding her, really revolves around a statement that she made a couple of years ago in which she said, quote, "I would hope that a wise Latina woman with the richness of her experiences would more often than not reach a better conclusion than a white male who hasn't lived that life," end of quote. Many have called it racist. Some have called it troubling. Some people have said that it was really out of context. And I would like to get reaction from those listening around the country to exactly what that sentence means to them. And I want to begin with Carol Felsenthal, one of the country's leading journalists and writer, author of a book called Clinton in Exile. Nice to have you with us.
Thanks.
What does that mean to you? Are you upset by that sentence? And there's a lot of brouhaha about it. Much ado about nothing or substance?
I think it's much ado about little, maybe not about nothing. And I think you can see the way that the Obama administration is going to handle this. She is going to say, and they are coaching her to say, that she didn't mean a better decision. She meant a different decision. I think that with 60 Democrats in the U.S. Senate, there's no way that this nominee will not be confirmed. I think that the Democrats understand what damage the Republicans are doing to their party by seeming to, in some cases, Rush Limbaugh, Newt Gingrich, who was way, way out there, surprisingly so to me, calling the judge a racist. And I think the Democrats are happy that the Republicans are behaving in that fashion.
Our conservative night is Marty Garrity. Marty, welcome to the program. Your assessment of just that sentence?
First of all, she did say better. She said a better conclusion.
Right.
And,
right.
And if they try now to say she meant different, but she said better, well, that
but isn't better the key word in that sentence?
Oh, of course,
yes.
It is.
Okay.
It is absolutely the key word, and to bring up, as the Democrats did on all the shows today, Gingrich and Limbaugh, is to really change the subject. That they are not the subject. There are 40 senators or 39 senators, and a few. A few Democrats, I don't know if you saw Ben Nelson a couple of weeks ago on one of the shows, said if this is an activist judge, before Sotomayor was picked, he said he would vote against an activist judge. He's against activism in judges. But this is a case in which he clearly says, I would be open to bias. I would be open to finding something based on other than the black letter law. And that, to me, that is a fairly scary thing.
John McCarron is our liberal tonight. John, from Medill School of Journalism, longtime columnist and reporter for the Chicago Tribune. Your reaction to just that sentence. Let's focus on the sentence right
now. Well, I'd rather be called a journalist than a liberal. Okay. Well, I'll participate
in
any way I can.
You're a little bit of both, aren't you?
I am, in fact. I write op-eds, and they're usually liberal op-eds for the Chicago Tribune, so I guess I'm a liberal. But I think, you know, this probably speaks well of our chances if this is the best they could come up with, at least in the early digging. And you said a couple of years ago, I think it was more than a couple of years ago, that she had said this out at Berkeley in a speech. Wasn't it Judge Alito or wannabe Supreme Court Judge Alito said something very similar about Italian-Americans?
He didn't say his decisions would be different. He said, part of what goes into helping me make my decisions is where I came from. But he doesn't say, and because of that, I'll be a way better judge than a nice Jewish lady or a black
man. Do you think that whether you're Felix Frankfurter or whoever, that your background doesn't affect your decisions?
Absolutely. No, I agree. But it affects them. But I think it's offensive to me as a white male to hear her say that her decisions would be better than mine. Different, maybe.
She didn't write. She gave this in a speech, I believe.
No, it was. She read it from a text.
She read it from a text. It was something she wrote and edited. Mm-hmm. The other, you know, there's another statement that she made, which I think will be just as much in play during the hearings, and that's that appeals court judges make policy.
She even referred to how the camera's rolling.
Yeah. Right, and she caught herself, and she seemed to have amended what she said. But I think, like many Supreme Court judges, David Souter turned out to be a total surprise to the conservatives in a negative way. But I think like many judges or people who are nominees to be justices, we don't really know where she is on a lot of things. And I think one of the issues that we don't know is the issue of abortion. And mm-hmm. before I forget this, I think it's a very interesting thing. If she is confirmed, she'll be the sixth Catholic out of 9 Supreme Court judges. There would be 6 Catholics, 2 Jewish justices, 1 Protestant. I think it's pretty interesting.
Well, but there's a school of thought that says for her to say that, for people to call her Catholic is like saying, if I were to say, I'm a vegetarian, but I really like cheeseburgers. I mean,
She's not a churchgoer.
But some of the instant reaction, even from conservatives, not obviously Rush and not the former speaker, but some of the early response was that we could have done a lot worse. Conservatives could have done a lot worse. Joe Morris, who you know, was on television locally in Chicago, former Reagan administration official and a noted legal scholar himself, he basically said that she's really not that bad.
From what I have seen of her so far, I agree that I can imagine judges who would have been way scarier for me to think of as on the Supreme Court than this lady.
1-800-723-8289. I want to get reaction from everyone to those to that important sentence. And are we spending too much time talking about the sentence? And after we spend about another segment doing it, we'll talk about something else. 1-800-723-8029. From coast to coast and border to border tonight, I'm Bruce Dumont. Thanks for joining us tonight.
This is Brian.
Brian, it's your buddy. Unexpected traffic jam.
Unexpected traffic?
Yeah, man. You know, you're rushing to get to a big meeting, and I'm like, surprise, let's hang out for a while.
Listen, traffic jam, I have a TomTom Go 740 now.
Ooh.
Yeah, it gives me detailed real-time traffic updates on my route, so I don't have to worry about you popping up and making me late anymore.
But I thought you liked our chance meetings, buddy.
I'm going to have to ask you to stop calling me buddy.
Say goodbye to unexpected traffic jams. Say hello to TomTom.
Painting is like giving your home a fresh coat of character. At Ace, we help make it easier, and now more affordable. For a limited time, get a $5 mail-in rebate on each gallon of select Royal Paint, starting at $21.99, so you can make your bedroom a little brighter, give your living room a new look. For everything you'll need, plus expert advice on making a big difference for a small price, hurry in to Ace, the helpful place. Participating stores only, limit 10. See store for details.
From Sacramento, California to Salinas, California, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway. 1-800-723-8289 is the telephone number. Let's go to Eduardo, listening to us in Chicago on our flagship station, WLS. Good evening. You're on the air, Eduardo.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, this is actually Jim from South Elgin.
I'm sorry. Jim, go ahead.
That's okay. This is a very interesting debate because it sort of revolves what I call journalistic malpractice, because the willingness for the left not to focus on what's a racial comment, with where if it was said by somebody of the conservative side, they'd be all over it and they'd be, you know, sounding the soundbite like every 2 minutes to get people all riled up. And so I think Sotomayor's going to get in, but I think the main issue more in this case is the press.
The only reason you know
John
about
McGarry,
they're not honest.
The only reason you know about this is through journalism.
Well, wait
well,
a minute.
But the application, look at all the...
somebody went and looked it up.
No, but...
Well,
but
there's a video, too. But
oh, yeah,
like,
but
for example,
the opponents would have found it.
Yeah, where do videos come from?
We did not depend on liberal journalists to find this. But, Jim, this is Marty Garrity, and I'm a conservative, but I kind of take a different attitude toward this, and that is, if... You're right. The leftist press would have raked somebody over the coals for this if it were the opposite. But they shouldn't. And in this case, it's not so big a thing that she needs to be drummed out of polite society. I don't know if that means she should be.
You know, when Justices Alito and Roberts were confirmed, there were all kinds of things that were discovered in their backgrounds. Alito was accused, and I think there was some proof of being a member of a group at Princeton that wanted to cut back on minority and women as students at Princeton. But I think to get into another part here, I think this case in New Haven involving the firefighters. And the fact that 19 of the 20 firefighters who passed the test to become lieutenants or commanders or whatever it is were white. I think there was one Hispanic, maybe two Hispanics.
No, one.
And she did not really give her legal reasoning on siding with the city of New Haven and the district court in upholding throwing out those tests. But I think that the hearings are going to focus on that, and she'll be beaten over the head about that.
To the point of the caller, though, and this I want to go back to John. His point was that if a Caucasian male had made a similar statement like this, we wouldn't be discussing that he was still moving forward.
But a Caucasian male would never make such a statement. It's a statement that would be made by a minority woman. And, you know, I agree that it's a damaging statement for her, and I wish she hadn't said it, and it troubles me.
But it's not going to sink her.
But it will not sink her. The only thing that would sink her, and here's another thing, is if she had a nanny tax problem, and that's why he wanted somebody who was no children.
Let's go to Eduardo. I think this is the aforementioned Eduardo. Are you there?
Yes. Thank you.
Go ahead.
I'll get to my comment read because I know you got a lot of calls. I think this is a pro-affirmative action candidate. And, you know, when you watch TV, you don't see reporters based on their race covering only their particular ethnicity neighborhoods. I mean, they're going to go there and investigate the facts. And that's all we ask that the judge does, is investigate the facts and not have a prejudiced view.
That's true, but from the look of this Ricci case in New Haven, she does have a prejudiced view. She is willing to be empathetic toward certain people, but there are 20 guys who legitimately studied hard for a test, who hope to increase advance their careers, and they won. They played by all the rules, and she was prepared to say,
"This is not it's not an easy issue, but it is going
very
on.
Easy
it's
issue.
Going. No, it's not.
Very
it's
easy.
And here's why: it's going on in cities all over the country that are becoming more and more black and brown in terms of the general population. However, when they do a test, multiple choice, whatever, the white candidates tend to do much better."
And
therefore, are higher on the. So what is a mayor? Please let me finish, Marty. Don't bull me off here. What is a mayor or a city council to do? Just have basically an all-white civil public defense or public safety force, fire and police, in effect providing services to a predominantly brown and black community. I mean, yeah. I'm just raising that because that's the larger issue that's going on there.
Yeah,
and maybe she realized that.
Is competence. If you're a black guy in a burning building, you want the most skilled fireman or the most skilled lieutenant trying to get you in. The issue of fire departments is not whom do we hire, but it's whom do we save and how many do we save?
Yeah, I wonder if there were any women on that list, because remember, that used to be the big issue about whether women had the upper body strength to carry somebody down a ladder. But this is going to be decided this term by the Supreme Court. Isn't that correct?
Puts them in an interesting spot,
that
too.
That will really be interesting. That will add another layer of drama to it, to see how the Supremes come out on this case.
Can they overturn the lady who is almost certain to be sitting next to them next
week? Would she have to recuse herself?
Oh, she wouldn't be involved. This will
be decided before.
But if
before
you're the judge, you've got to decide this lady's going to be with me for
We're going to be in the same courtroom together. Let's go to Mark in Salinas, California, listening to us on KION. Nice to hear from California tonight. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you very much, Bruce. You know, I was telling the producer off the air that, you know, insofar as the comments that she made are really, I think, a look into her mind, and I do believe that those comments are racist. And I want to say this is that I think that I'm very concerned with the way she comes to decisions and who she favors in those decisions. And there was another case that people really aren't talking about, but this is very telling. There was a case involving a high school student, a young lady, who wrote for the school newspaper, and she was also running for student body president. And in a column in the school paper, she used a rather unflattering term to describe the principal and some other officials at the school. And so based upon that, the school disqualified her from running for student body president. She sued on grounds that her First Amendment rights were violated. And Sotomayor said, hey, the school was right to do that. I don't think that a judge that makes those kinds of decisions, who rules against individual freedom and liberty, is the kind of person we want on the Supreme Court. We don't necessarily need judges that rule for more state power over individuals. And I don't believe she even belongs on the appeals court. I'll go that far as well. She ought to be in private practice.
Let John respond to that.
I think what little you know about that case is probably something you read in a newspaper. Getting back to the gentleman who insists that the liberal media isn't telling the full truth. What little we know about this is what we learned from the media. I suspect that neither of us know all the testimony that was given in that case and all that was said in the legal brief. So I just don't understand how you can snatch something like that out of the paper.
Let me just state, because I think this happens frequently in the court of public opinion. The way, sir, you have explained that case, it sounds like the judge may have, at least I would not have agreed with the judge, the way you've explained it. But there may be other aspects of this case that either you don't know, haven't shared with us, or maybe maybe you were not aware of. Would you acknowledge that? And whenever you get into, whenever you try to get into any judge's decision-making process, unless you've sat in on that case for virtually all of the evidence, it sometimes is difficult to second-guess the ultimate decision.
Well, there wasn't a liberal-conservative access here, and it wasn't racial. If I know I think it involved a sort of a feminine hygiene product that he's referring to as a term that was used. But as somebody who has written about Michelle Obama, who also went to Princeton and came out of the Chicago Public Schools, as I did, when Michelle Obama and her brother, now a basketball coach for Oregon State, and Sonia Sotomayor went there, they were in the minority, and I believe that there was a process of becoming radicalized, and she was somebody who I'm more on the admiring side of her than not.
But
when she was at school, she joined organizations, she lobbied, she became a person who was going to push an agenda. And not surprisingly, at a place like Princeton, where
but she also became a corporate litigator.
Yes, later
she
on.
Also got the attention of the president of the administration of George
Herbert Walker Bush, right,
who appointed her.
Right,
Moynihan
really
is the guy who brought her.
Okay, but
Bush.
But Moynihan.
But
I mean,
when Obama was running
the Bush process,
true.
If you will,
when Obama was running for the White House, Michelle's senior thesis was brought under the spotlight because it seemed to have taken a relatively radical view of African Americans at Princeton.
I
think she was very much like that.
I want to get back to something that you said earlier.
One last thing.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Why can't we get to the point where we have judges who will rule against authoritarianism and will rule for liberty? How about that on a first principles basis?
Well, I tend to agree. I certainly agree with you on the first principles thing. But remember, there's a kind of a non-First Amendment issue here on the case you were talking about, and that is this is a high school paper.
Right.
High school papers are not
censored all the time.
The press. High school papers are
not necessarily right to censor high school papers in that respect. If we want to teach children a proper respect for the First Amendment, we certainly don't want to be having making them nervous about expressing what they feel about.
And I don't want to have every high school kid with access to a typewriter or to a computer being able to write anything that pops into his mind.
Administrators and teachers.
The sad fact is that high school kids really aren't some of them are not mature enough to be entrusted with the full panoply of First Amendment rights. It's just not there.
So not a full freedom of expression for teenagers.
True.
1-800-723-8289. I'm Bruce Dumont from Coast to Coast and Border to Border. Back shortly from Chicago.
Psst, hey, over here.
What?
Yeah, it's me. The printed internet directions you crumpled up and left in the back seat. What's with the cold shoulder lately?
Oh, right. I'm sorry. I got a TomTom GPS.
What?
Yeah, I kind of got tired of risking my life trying to read you while driving. So now I just plug in an address and TomTom gets me there much faster with clear spoken directions.
Well, that's dumb.
No, what's dumb is the 18 steps you give me just to get out of the driveway.
I was just being thorough.
Say goodbye to printed internet directions. Say hello to TomTom.
Hey, Mini Dealer.
Hi.
I heard every Mini has no-cost maintenance, but does that really include the important stuff?
Try me.
Brake pads.
Included.
Air filters.
Included.
Oil changes.
Included.
Brake rotors?
Included. Look, I can include stuff for 3 years, and that could save you up to $1,100 over our competitors.
Wiper blade inserts.
No, that's not included.
Really?
I'm just kidding. They're included.
Wow.
Boot to Bonnet no-cost maintenance covers 3 years or 36,000 miles, and it's only from Mini. For details, visit miniusa.com/info.
From Los Angeles, California to Boston, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway, 1-800-723-8289. Thanks to John Dempsey for sitting in for me last week while I was away for Memorial Day. Joining us around the table this evening, our card-carrying conservative is Marty Garrity. He is a commercial real estate executive when he's not on the radio. John McCarron, he is a journalist of a liberal persuasion. Over 30 years with the Chicago Tribune, he is now an adjunct professor at the Medill School of Journalism, where also does occasional contributing to the Chicago Tribune. And also joining us this evening is Carol Felsenthal. She is one of the country's leading writers, and her latest book is Clinton in Exile. It's about the exploits of President Bill Clinton after he left the White House. Is soon to come out in paperback, and also wrote a biography on Katherine Graham of the Washington Post, which will soon be an HBO movie. And what else can we say about you? Huffington Post contributor.
Yes, I've become addicted to blogging for the Huffington Post. It's the most immediate gratification, and I have to stop doing it and get on to something else, because you can't, I get these ideas in the middle of the night, and then I run to my computer and get them out there, and it's like nothing else, because it's right there, online, published, and it's very cool.
Is there income for you when you do that?
I mean, everybody asks that. Yeah. The answer is no. Nobody gets
zero.
Paid. Yeah,
wow.
But it does. It opens up other things, and
opens up other opportunities.
Right. I love doing
to talk on the radio, and look at all the money you're making.
Yeah, that's right. Right. I can hardly carry it out.
You parlayed into it.
I hear she's getting twice what I'm getting for this show.
Now, also, we should mention, we're going to talk about this a little bit later on, but we'll give a little tidbit this week, because those listening around the country know that we have an embattled United States Senator in Illinois, Roland Burris, and briefly explain to the national audience, Carol, what thrust Roland Burris back into the local headlines. And again, we'll talk a little bit more about it later in the show, but give them a little tease right
now. And in fact, it's national headlines. It was the New York Times did some very good reporting on it. And also, the because there's audio, the network news even covered it. He had a conversation that was
Roland Burris,
our junior senator from Illinois, had a conversation with Robert Blagojevich, the brother of the impeached Illinois governor, Rod Blagojevich. The feds taped it, and during this conversation, it appears to me that Burris was planning to get a check to Blagojevich while he lobbied Blagojevich's brother and campaign finance manager to be appointed to that seat. What I think people missed, and I put this up on the Huffington Post, was I believe Burris, in his defense, says, I never delivered the check. I was lying to Robert Blagojevich. I was just trying to placate him, in Burris's word. Blagojevich was arrested in his pajamas around dawn on December 9th, 2008. Roland Burris made a self-imposed deadline of getting a check to Blagojevich of December 15th. I have every expectation that Roland Burris would have delivered that check had Blagojevich not been arrested. The thing about Roland Burris is everybody is outraged. Dick Durbin came out again now and said that he was disappointed that he would not support Burris in a 2010 election try. But then other items overtake Burris in the news. Things calm down, and Burris just squirrels away in Washington as an embarrassment to the state. And I would not completely put it past the possibility that he could win a primary and go on and run in the general election. I think it's unlikely, but this is racial politics at its most disturbing and unattractive, and it's a possibility.
And we discussed on this program when you were a guest, we introduced to the national audience the relationship between Roland Burris and his former associate, Fred Lebed, and their connection in trying to reach get a job for Patty Blagojevich, the First Lady of Illinois. She subsequently lost that job. Tomorrow night she will premiere as a television personality on NBC in Help Me Get Out of Here, I'm a Celebrity. But again, some of those early connections began on this discussion.
Right, and I ran with that as soon as I left this program. And Fred Lebed, this was not picked up locally or
his
nationally.
His law partner,
lobbyist partner. Right. And Fred Lebed sat on the board of the organization that gave Patty Blagojevich, it's been reported as an $80,000 a year job or $100,000 a year job, and I thought that was pretty huge news.
We'll talk more about it, but let's get back to some telephone calls. Let's go to Line 7. John is listening to us on WLS in Chicago and Coast to Coast. You're on the air. John, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Speak up, please.
Well, I'm a little upset with everybody having these hyphenated American names. This lady running as a judge is a Latina. Some other guy down here in the barrios of Chicago is a Latino. I thought we were all Americans. And I'm 81 years old. I spent 6 years in the Army from 1945 to 1952. And we were considered Americans. Whether you were black or Latin, you were an American. Now we got all these, if these people like to refer to themselves as Latinos and Latinas, let them go south of the border to Latin America. These African-Americans, let them go back to Africa. I thought we were all Americans.
John McCarron.
I have some sympathies with the caller. I think that identity politics is too much of our politics, certainly too much of in Democratic politics. But by the same token, I think, you know, back to Africa, that's sort of smacks of an attitude that I think is maybe a little bit.
By the way, this is Mr. McCarron, right?
Thank you.
The guy that went to the planning council and then bounced from that, and now he's a freelancer, I understand. He's liberal, we know that. but he ought to read Steve Chapman's column today in the Tribune.
Oh, I did read Steve's today at the Tribune, and I was impressed that he read the whole of Sonia Sotomayor's faux pas out in Berkeley, right?
Faux pas?
Faux pas, yeah. I think that
you
that's...
You think it's a faux pas? That's her belief.
Well, I guess I'm hearkening to what the president said, that she probably would have worded it another way had she to do it over again.
Worded it another way, and then we have various and sundry politicians like our Mr. Durbin, who said the American troops are worse than the Nazi Gestapo. Then he said he apologized. Well, he said it first.
Well, people say dumb things that they shouldn't say, but I don't know. I think you have to look.
Mean people in the politics, they don't think, they just shoot off.
Well, you just said the African Americans should go back to Africa, so I guess that makes that you won't be running for public office anytime soon.
Hold on, did you read the book by, I think it was a few years ago, by a black reporter, went back to Africa where his roots were? And he said, thank God we were pulled into the Americas, he said. And I'm not saying that they all go back, but this hyphenated name BS is what gets me.
Okay, well, I think, as John alluded, I think you speak for a lot of people.
But let
me ask you this question, if I can, because I do believe that your sentiment is one that is shared by many people listening to the program this evening. But... Let me ask you to step back and say that you are a Puerto Rican, okay?
Right.
Let's pretend you're a Puerto Rican.
So?
Puerto Ricans are Americans, okay?
Yes, they are, by law.
They don't sneak into the country. They're part of the country. So here's my question. You're a Puerto Rican. You're a woman. The United States has never appointed, in the history of the country, a Puerto Rican woman to the United States Supreme Court. What's wrong?
It doesn't
Wait,
make
no, let
a
me,
damn
let me,
bit
let,
of
let
difference.
Let me just finish, sir.
It doesn't
What's
make a damn bit
what
of difference
what is,
when
what,
you're
no,
coming
no.
up for the Supreme
what
Court.
Is, no, but what is wrong when a Puerto Rican woman is appointed to the Supreme Court? What's wrong if she's not proud of that and other Puerto Ricans and or women are equally proud of that? What's wrong with that?
Do we do this balkanization to make people proud? I thought in the Supreme Court you had to have a judge who rendered impartially. They got a thing down
political,
there.
Political.
The
sir, the Supreme Court. The appointment to the Supreme Court is one of the prizes of being president of the United States. And in every presidential election, most whether they're Republicans or Democrats, they spend a portion of the campaign explaining that one of the most important and sacred things that a president will be able to do is to make a political act. And that political act is to look at all the people in the United States and determine who they want to put and give a lifetime appointment to. And you know what? That's what's supposed to happen. To the victor goes the spoils. If you win the presidency, you should be able to appoint whoever you want.
Who the hell gets
they
in
do,
there.
They do, and that's where we're going right now. But you know what? When George Herbert Walker Bush said that Clarence Thomas was the most qualified man in the United States to be on the Supreme Court, when he said that, and frankly, used it as his political defense for Clarence Thomas and got away with it. Frankly, whatever politician says anything in the wake of that, you know, to me is they're pikers in comparison with what George Bush said.
Clarence Thomas is a brilliant man, Bruce. He's one of the most
He was not the most qualified person to be.
He wanted to appoint an African American.
That's right, and that's my point. He wasn't the most qualified.
But when Louis Brandeis was appointed, Jewish people took. Great.
Yeah.
Scalia, Alito, the Italian American community.
No such
thing. There's great pride.
Cardozo.
Back shortly.
Maybe a.
Hello?
Brian, dude, it's me, Rush Hour Traffic.
Who?
Rush Hour, man. We used to meet up every day right after work.
Oh, yeah. Listen, Rush Hour, I have a TomTom GPS now.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it has this feature called IQ Routes that knows all your regular patterns and habits, so it finds me the fastest way to get home and avoid you.
Well, we had some laughs, didn't we?
No, we did not.
Say goodbye to rush hour traffic. Say hello to TomTom.
Men, did you know your prostate can affect your quality of life? It can affect your urine flow and stream, and it might even affect intimacy. Don't ignore the importance of your prostate. See your doctor for checkups and take all natural Beta Prostate. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-394-5598. Don't put off this important phone call. With Beta Prostate, your satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. Call 1-800-394-5598. That's 1-800-394-5598.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. Let's go to calls. Let's go to Carolyn in Woodstock. Go ahead. You're on the air. Caroline, are you there?
Yes.
Speak up, please. Everybody's waiting to hear your words.
Okay. My name is Caroline. I'm calling from Woodstock, Illinois.
Yeah, I just heard that on the radio. Go ahead.
And my concern is that Obama's candidate for the Supreme Court is a council member of La Raza, and that's listed on the American Bar Association website. If you go to the La Raza website, you'll see it's a very activist organization with very, about immigration, and they were also the group that wanted to have Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, California be part of Mexico. So I don't know if she really holds those views, whether or not she could be impartial.
Well, she's also a member of the Puerto Rican Legal Defense and Education Fund, I think. And from what I can see, that's probably an even more scary association than that of La Raza.
Yeah, but as long as Tom Tancredo, who we remember as being one of the Republicans trying to win the nomination in 2008, goes out and calls La Raza, which I think is somewhat mainstream among a certain segment, the Ku Klux Klan without the robes, I just think these people are over the top, and I think it will only aid her in her fight to win confirmation.
I want to spend a moment. Thank you very much for your call, Carolyn. I want to spend a moment to get Marty's response to something that you said very early in the show, Carol. When you said that really what we have going here is the Republicans have got to be somewhat careful because they don't want to come out so strong that they raise further concerns that some Hispanics have about any allegiance to the Republican Party. The Republican Party had better watch it. They're kind of walking on eggshells is sort of what I'm summarizing what you had to say. Marty, does that concern you at all?
It doesn't because the reality is Democrats have never had to pay for the savagery that they display in Supreme Court discussions. We invented a verb called borking to describe what was done to it, probably the most qualified fellow ever to sit as a candidate for the U.S. Supreme Court. The savagery that they used on Clarence Thomas was beyond imagining. I mean, they got this woman to come in and probably perjure herself. At least two-thirds of the American people thought she was lying.
During the Alito confirmation, that Mrs. Alito left the confirmation hearing
some,
in tears?
Some scurrilous allegation was made. Democrats don't suffer for that kind of thing. I hope that the Republicans will have the good grace to keep their opposition to Sotomayor more on a higher level. But the fact that she's Hispanic does not, or Latina, does not immunize her from a really rigorous investigation of what she has said and the things she's done and the associations she's belonged to.
Now, you said a few moments ago that the Puerto Rican, what was the group that you think is more?
The Puerto Rican Legal Defense and Education Fund.
And what makes them suspect?
Oh, Bruce, I'm afraid I can't really say. I believe that these were people who were, for instance, in favor of releasing the Puerto Ricans who shot up the U.S. Congress in the early 50s. They are kind of a scarier group than even La Raza, I think. I can't say that I'm
John, do you know anything about this?
Them.
I don't. I'm just impressed by the kind of things that upset your callers. There was another doctor murdered out in Kansas this morning in church, and we haven't had a call yet, nor have we have a promise that we're going to discuss that tonight. Yet we're doing sort of a Bill Ayers kind of workup on the background of this.
Do you remember that President Clinton pardoned some of these Puerto Rican terrorists, and you know, Clinton was considered to be a rather mainstream centrist president.
It depends on your perspective.
And Sotomayor also. I mean, she was a prosecutor. I mean, a lot of the police groups in New York have already come out in support of her.
She used to put on a bulletproof vest when she was working for a private law firm because she represented, I think it's Louis Vuitton, the leather goods maker, and there were people making counterfeit bags and counterfeit belts. She'd put on a vest and go with the law enforcement to warehouses to see where the stuff was being manufactured illegally.
There's an activist judge. They got off their butt and they did something.
Marty's talked about savagery and whatnot. And I think, it has been that way in recent nominations and on the part of both parties. I think it's a reflection of the extreme polarization that's going on in American politics in general. I mean, you're not only wrong, Mr. Opponent, you're treasonously wrong. I mean, it's just rhetorical growth that I think talk radio to some extent has fed. The level of rhetoric, the more if you call a nominee, what did Rush call her?
Racist.
Racist. Your ratings go
Rush
up. You know?
Is
no,
not
I'm
the
not
subject.
Changing the subject
you
because
aren't.
I'm just getting very
you
close to where we're at tonight
do
here.
This, John.
Coming out with
tell
names
me
like
when,
savagery.
Tell me when there was a comparable attack on any Democratic nominee. Was Ginsburg attacked? Was
no,
Breyer
Ruth
attacked?
Ruth Ginsburg was confirmed by, I think, 99-1 or 98-1. It was very, very high.
The Democrats are
so
the only
Breyer.
Ones who do this in American public life. It's a simple fact. Unless you can name it, name a Democratic nominee who was treated that way. You just said both parties do it. So tell me, give me an example of when.
Kimber
the
Wood,
Well, they were. That's why one of the things
that she was against.
One of the things that's disturbing about this nomination, I think, is that I think Obama felt he had to select a woman who doesn't have a husband or children. That's too bad because you don't find wives under that scrutiny when it's a male nominee.
We've got a pause. Carol Felsenthal, John McCarron, Marty Garrity. They have been with us in hour number one. They'll be back for hour number two. No more calls on Sotomayor. You've had your hour on that. We'll probably be talking about it more next week. Next hour, we're going to solve one problem. Our only problem is, how do we get North Korea from moving away from a nuclear program? That's what we're going to focus on in the next hour. What do we do about North Korea? 1-800-723-8289. I'm Bruce Dumont. Back shortly.
What if I told you you can make one phone call and cut your credit card debt in half? You heard right. One call to Resolve Debt Relief today can save you thousands of dollars. Why be miserable even one more day? Don't declare bankruptcy. Do something about it. Call Resolve Debt Relief now. Toll free. Call 800-811-8700. Are you frustrated about your financial situation? Do you have over $10,000 of credit card debt? Are collection agencies harassing you and your family? Call now and learn how to reduce your credit card debt by 50% or more. Do something about it. Call 800-811-8700 for a confidential, no-obligation, free consultation. Resolve Debt Relief, the company to call if you have credit card debt of $10,000 or more. Do something about it right now. Call 800-811-8700. Call 800-811-8700.
Hey, over here.
What?
Yeah, it's me. The printed internet directions you crumpled up and left in the back seat. What's with the cold shoulder lately?
Oh, right. I'm sorry. I got a TomTom GPS.
What?
Yeah, I kind of got tired of risking my life trying to read you while driving, so now I just plug in an address and TomTom gets me there much faster with clear spoken directions.
Well, that's dumb.
No, what's dumb is the 18 steps you give me just to get out of the driveway.
I was just being thorough.
Say goodbye to printed internet directions. Say hello to TomTom.
Hey, Mini Dealer.
Hi.
I heard every Mini has no-cost maintenance, but does that really include the important stuff?
Try me.
Brake pads.
Included.
Air filters.
Included.
Oil changes.
Included.
Brake rotors?
Included. Look, I can include stuff for 3 years, and that could save you up to $1,100 over our competitors.
Wiper blade inserts.
No, that's not included.
Really?
I'm just kidding. They're included.
Wow.
Boot to Bonnet no-cost maintenance covers 3 years or 36,000 miles, and it's only from Mini. For details, visit miniusa.com/info.
Did you catch the ABC 2020 show on how unemployment has increased those work-at-home scams with their titillating ads claiming you'll make hundreds a day? You'll never hear that from IncomeAtHome22.com, a work-from-home leader. They're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau and connected to a multi-billion dollar company. If your dream is to earn potentially life-changing money from home, they're adding people in record numbers. And they're giving away $1,000 to someone just for checking them out. That's IncomeAtHome22.com.
Every year, 43% of computer users lose important files. Protect your files with Carbonite Online Backup. Carbonite Online Backup makes copies of your files and stores them securely off-site. It happens automatically, so you'll never have to think about it, and your backup will always be up to date. At less than $5 per month, it's the smartest insurance policy you'll ever buy. Log on to Carbonite.com right now. Try it free for 15 days. Use offer code EASY, and you'll get 2 free months with your yearly subscription. Backing up your Mac or PC is safe and easy at Carbonite.com.
Live from Chicago, this is Bruce Dumont. We continue with hour number two of Beyond the Beltway. Tonight featuring commentary by conservative Marty Garrity, liberal John McCarron, and journalist Carol Felsenthal. And our phone lines remain open at 1-800-723-8289. However, we are switching gears. No more discussion of the upcoming Supreme Court battle over Sonia Sotomayor. But I do want to talk about an issue that we talk about periodically on this program because it's one of those that has not gone away, but seems like every couple of weeks or every couple of months it really pops back onto the front pages in a big, big way given the magnitude of it. And that is North Korea continuing to test their and flex their nuclear muscles. Last week, President Obama called North Korea's reported underground nuclear test a matter of grave concern that warrants action by the international community. And the question about what do we do about North Korea other than issue a lot of strong statements from the White House is a question that I want to spend a little time talking about this evening with those listening out there in radio land and also around the table here in Chicago. John McCarron, obviously we don't want the west coast of the United States to be blown up by some missile from North Korea. How likely and how real do you personally believe the North Korean threat is?
Well, in one sense, it's not very real because I don't think they have a delivery system yet that could deliver a nuclear weapon, which I believe they have, very far.
They could do it to South Korea. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, and that's the complicating thing, Bruce. I think people don't understand when we discuss North Korea, South Korea. We're talking about a country in North Korea that has one of the largest standing armies in the world. I mean, they have almost
number four
superpower. Thank you, Marty. Almost a superpower-sized army, and we're talking about a DMZ that is only 20 miles from the heart of downtown Seoul, Korea, the capital of South Korea. I think if there were to be war between the North and the South, I think Seoul would be toast very, very quickly. And the 30,000 Americans that we have on occasion kept in Korea, I think we're almost as a trigger for us to say, okay, if you do that, North Korea, you'll be attacking the United States. And our response, although this has never been said explicitly, I think would be tactically nuclear. Not strategically nuclear, but I don't see that we have any op plan in that theater other than using tactical nuclear weapons to stop Seoul from being overrun, because I don't see how you do it otherwise.
Marty Garrity, how fearful are you of North Korea and its nuclear abilities?
Well, because we have essentially 30,000 American hostages just in Korea, not to mention the troops in our troops in Japan. And remember, within the last couple of months, North Korea shot a missile out over and beyond Japan. It passed over Japan. So they have the ability to kill a lot of Americans, and that is not a modest threat. That is a grievous threat. And what we get from the Obama administration is, well, what we really need to do is cut back by 15% our missile defense expenditures. Instead of increasing it, they're saying we need to cut it back. And then there's just paragraph after paragraph of useless denunciations that mean nothing. Now, and
but do we,
giving,
but
giving
do,
the devil,
but
let me
do
just
we,
finish. George W. Bush was as guilty of this in the last 3 or 4 years of his administration as Obama is now. We have inveighed against them, and we have cursed them, but we've never done anything
because we let China
decide what we'll do, and China will do nothing.
Yeah, but I think that we've got the Chinese attention now, don't you?
And
not only the attention of the Chinese, but also the attention of the Russians. And I don't what I wonder is this the test that there was so much talk during the campaign, the 3 a.m. phone call, the Biden comment, Biden comment that Obama's going
He'll
to be tested in a serious way. It seems like he is, and also the Iranians, you have them.
When you read
the other.
That the Chinese Navy has joined the U.S. and South Korean navies and is interdicting North Korean ships, then you can say, oh, the Chinese are now paying attention. But they'll never do that. They won't even allow sanctions. Because they protect the North Koreans, because they're afraid that if something goes wrong, a lot of North Koreans.
I want to engage Carol. Carol, how worried are you? I want to get a sense from everybody this evening how real you think this is.
I'm worried, and I'll tell you why. I was talking to one. I have three children, and I was talking to one of them about a particular challenge that she's having at the moment. And what came into my mind, and I didn't say it to her during she was out of town during a telephone conversation, is what's going on in North Korea. You know, maybe we're just spinning our wheels worrying about this, because I feel I grew up in the 50s when we had air raid drills in the Chicago public schools that I attended, and I'm getting into that corner again where I feel a sense of nervousness in the pit of my stomach.
But there appears to be, based on what we know, and based certainly what John just mentioned, there is no doubt at this table that North Korea would have the ability to annihilate South Korea. Everybody agrees with that?
Certainly to do it. I wouldn't say Japan. I think their ability to thrust a nuclear weapon as far as Japan and target it on a populated area, I think is yet to be proven. But we know that tomorrow they could come across the border and take Seoul and kill those 30,000 Americans along with untold South Koreans.
All right. And again, the 30,000 Americans that we're referring to are in the DMZ, the demilitarized zone, which separates North and South Korea. And you referred to them as hostages. But, you know, they have been the sitting ducks for the last 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, perhaps some who are listening to the broadcast this evening, served there. If you did, I'd love to hear your perspective. But we all agree with that. But I want to move to the next step, which is the fear of Americans above and beyond those who represent, you know, those 30,000 Americans. And there may be friends and families of those listening to the broadcast this evening. The ability to deliver any nuclear attack on the United States homeland, that's very much debatable.
Well,
and it's debatable because they haven't demonstrated it yet. Let's not give them that opportunity. And second of all, you decried the lack of expansion of the nuclear shield. The reality is we are pretty confident right now that we would be able to withstand that even with what we have.
Well,
is that not correct?
I don't think that's true. We're not even willing to station. When a missile takes off carrying some bad stuff, the time to get it is when it's coming off the launching pad. And we have the technology to do that from ships, but we won't put our ships off of North Korea. Our ships are not allowed to be off of North Korea or off of Korea. even, you know, out in international waters. We will not, under Obama, we will not assume a defensive position. And that's not only true there, but it's also true with Iran. And what these guys are doing is probably selling their missiles. We know they sold them to Syria.
I want to find out from our other guests whether they agree with that assessment that we are somehow, you know, without any defense right at the moment. 1-800-723-8029. North Korea, folks, what do we do about it? Major problem. Let's get your feedback. 1-800-723-8029.
This is Brian.
Brian, it's your buddy. Unexpected traffic jam.
Unexpected
traffic? Yeah, man. You know, you're rushing to get to a big meeting, and I'm like, surprise, let's hang out for a while.
Listen, traffic jam, I have a TomTom Go 740 now.
Ooh.
Yeah, it gives me detailed real-time traffic updates on my route, so I don't have to worry about you popping up and making me late anymore.
But I thought you liked our chance meetings, buddy.
I'm going to have to ask you to stop calling me buddy.
Say goodbye to unexpected traffic jams. Say hello to TomTom.
I'm Carl Edwards. As a NASCAR driver, I can't let allergies slow me down. That's why I use Claritin. It works hard on my toughest allergy symptoms. And unlike many other allergy medicines, it won't make you drowsy. For me, Claritin really is the perfect allergy medicine. Stay alert, stay focused. Live Claritin Clear with non-drowsy Claritin.
Right now, you can get 10 free Claritin tablets for 10 free days of non-drowsy allergy relief with the Claritin 30 plus 10 bonus pack. 10 free tablets, 10 free days of relief at a store near you. Use as directed.
From Santa Monica, California to Bakersfield, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway, 1-800-723-8029. For those people listening in the great state of California, we've got a lot of affiliates out there, and of course everybody listening on XM and satellite and Sirius satellite radio. I want to know how much time you worry, if at all, about a nuclear attack, because obviously if there was a nuclear attack from South Korea, it most likely would come to your backyard. Do you think about it at all? Are you worried about it at all? Obviously, South Korea has been on our list of discussion points for many, many years, but in recent months, it's coming back with some frequency. And, John, you were making a point that your great concern isn't just the nuclear power they have, the army that they have, but you're more concerned about their leader than anything else.
Well, yeah, it seems he's demonstrably irrational with the things that he's done and said. It also seems that he has lockstep obedience from which is sort of incredulous. I mean, that he has lockstep obedience from masses of people who you know, he's turned his government into basically a cult of personality rather than ideology, per se.
I guess I don't understand why you say he's irrational. He has gotten everything he's ever wanted from the U.S. He says, hey, I'll sell you my nuclear program if you give me $50 million. They give him $50 million, and he doesn't give them his nuclear program. He says, oh, but wait a minute. I'll sell you my nuclear program if you give me another $50 million. And they give him another. This guy, I mean, if you want to talk about irrational, talk about George W. Bush. Because and Bill Clinton, the agreed framework started in 1994. And in 1994, the second day of 1994, he was already violating it. And Bill Clinton, and then later George W. Bush, to his credit, stopped that for about 3 years early in his first term. And then he said, okay, I give up. I'll start giving him all the stuff he wants. This is a very smart guy. He gets everything he wants, and America gets nothing. Who's irrational in that context?
I think you might be looking at sort of a rope-a-dope strategy on the part of the West, where they're hoping to wait out this guy.
They're not doing a very good job of waiting him out. They keep giving him his money. They gave him his money in Macau. He had this bank in Macau. They gave him everything he asked for, and he gives them nothing.
A question. One of the things, it seems, one of the first tenets of American foreign policy is we demonize the enemy, no matter who it is. So whether we're talking about Iran, Iraq, or North Korea, they're all demons. They're all the worst of the worst. Of the three that we're talking about, Saddam Hussein is gone. But of the worst of the worst that we're talking about now, Iran and North Korea.
Are
we in a situation where we've cried wolf too many times?
Well,
who really is the demon?
You remember
everybody agrees on Hitler.
You remember.
Everybody agrees on Stalin. Pol Pot, yes, okay. Who's in their league?
Did you remember the famous George W. Bush phrase, the axis of evil? And it was Iraq, Iran, and North Korea.
Yeah.
But, you know, we were talking about the fear of North Korea, which which I really do feel as a child of the 1950s and the Cold War. What I worry about is they may not have the delivery system, as John said, but they do have the capability of producing the stuff that can make a dirty bomb and that could do untold damage here or in Europe or in Asia or wherever they decided to place the thing. And you sort of have a but for the grace of God go I feeling about it. I think it's extremely disturbing.
Well, I think too that when you talk about the American backyard and people in California, their backyard is potentially at risk. You know what? The guy across the street, the kid across the street from me, is in the Navy. His backyard could be the scene of tragedy. If I don't even know if he's in Korea, but every place in America that is near the place where these 30,000 kids come from, young, not necessarily even kids, or the ones in Japan, all of America could be in mourning if the North Koreans do what they're doing, or if they sell one of these weapons. Now, we know they sold weapons
to Syria,
and thank God the Israelis took that plant out. We don't know who else they've sold it to, and we keep waiting for this American prosecutorial proof that they did this before we'll do anything. You can't get that kind of proof in international relations. And so you just got to say, it looks like these guys are doing this. We got to protect America. You know, Dick Cheney had this 1% solution. If there's a 1% chance that somebody's going to do something, we've got to act like it's a certainty. Well, we're not doing that with North Korea, and somewhere, somebody's going to hurt
us. Sounds like we have a talk radio hawk in the making
here. What do we do? John, what do we do? Let's assume we all agree that the potential to destroy Seoul is there. The potential to destroy those 30,000 Americans is there. There may be some debate as to whether or not they could ever hit the homeland of the United States. Marty thinks that the defense system we have right now may not be good enough. The Obama administration wants to spend less money on it. They may say we're spending less money on it because what we have is working. That may be true. I mean, we don't have an expert at the table that can convince anybody that we're not safe. I frankly can't believe that anyone would become president of the United States and would willingly make our nation less safe. I really don't believe that. So the question is, let's assume that it is a real threat. What do we do? How do we diffuse this circumstance?
Well, I mean, you make sure you have operation plans, contingency plans in effect to game out different scenarios that might happen. If they were to come over the DMZ, I assume we have a contingency plan. I personally believe it involves tactical nuclear weapons to stop that charge. I just don't see another way of getting that done. And let me tell you, Marty doesn't know that we don't have the defenses in place, unless he's saying we could have gone full bore with Star Wars. But Marty doesn't know what kind of satellite surveillance that we have over North Korea. It could be that as soon as they start loading the rockets, we're ready to go.
They do have satellite evidence right now that there is a train that is moving from the place where this missile is stored, and it'll take about 2 weeks to get to where it needs to be launched. We could take that train out, so we do know that, okay? And Marty knows that. Everybody knows that. And we could take that train out with one airplane, but we're not going to do it because we don't have proof that it's a missile or...
Well, tell it to the Marines, Marty. There's a recruiting state. No, I mean, this, you know, talk radio warriors are easy to come by, and they are ready to go to the extremes. As I said before, I think we're in sort of a rope-a-dope strategy with Kim Il-jong to try to wait him out. He's had some health problems.
Wait, isn't he? He's a very ill man, isn't he?
I suspect if he fired the, you know, if you
who's his successor?
If you went along with the Marty Garrity approach, you'd be, making everybody a member of NATO, so we would have an instant legal obligation to go to their defense
There is an obligation according to our treaties. An attack on Seoul is an attack on the United States.
For all practical purposes, that's CETO, right?
And what I mean, if there is going to be an attack, it would make sense that the logical place where the attack would take place would be in Seoul. And so once that happens, you're assuming, and I agree with you, John, we have all kinds of plans. The American people don't know them at the moment, but there are all kinds of plans where we would bring, you know, hell on earth down on the North Koreans if they did it. Is there a way to avoid it? My question. Carol, any ideas?
No, I'd like to see more strong and forceful comments from American officials, including our Secretary of Defense Gates, our Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, who seems kind of AWOL on this subject, and by our President Obama. I mean, you just kind of feel like the ball is out there somewhere. And you also have what's going on in the Middle East, which you seem to be taking our eye off of, and that's Netanyahu and the Iranians and the possibility of the destruction of Israel.
Carol,
with a
we've been having strong comments from our president since 1994.
Right.
Bill Clinton. Strong comments.
Since 1950.
Yeah,
but on this particular issue, there's nothing but strong comments.
You know, we've spent the first part of this program talking about Sotomayor, and I feel, just from being a news junkie and somebody who keeps on top of this stuff, that North Korea is not quite – hasn't quite reached the level of a Supreme Court nominee in terms of where people's attention is. And our President Obama, you know, we have a bankruptcy tomorrow of General Motors. There's so much going on. I've never lived through a period like this where everything is so hyper-tense and hyper-active. And it's, you know, it's fascinating, but it's also frightening.
Give me your strong words. You have a comment on strong words.
Oh, that's
we need
great.
Strong words.
There's a guy named Andy Borowitz of BorowitzReport.com who wrote this. One day after North Korea launched a successful test of a nuclear weapon, President Obama said that the United States was prepared to respond to the threat with the strongest possible adjectives.
He's a comedian, though.
In remarks to reporters at the White House, Mr. Obama said that North Korea should fear the full force and might of the United States arsenal of adjectives and called the missile test reckless, reprehensible, objectionable, senseless, egregious, and condemnable. Standing at the president's side, Vice President Joe Biden weighed in with some tough adjectives of his own, branding North Korean President Kim Jong-il totally whack and illin. Obama then said, let's be clear, we're not taking adverbs off the table. If the need arises, we will use them forcefully, aggressively, swiftly, overwhelmingly, and commandingly. And that's all we do. That is all we do. These guys are selling weapons to other countries, bad countries.
It's been condemned by the United Nations.
China
wouldn't allow that condemnation to occur.
I don't know. I think the Chinese are moving closer to the direction of the United States, and I think it's true of Russia, too. I think the Chinese are spooked by this.
What is it that you see about the Chinese?
Does anybody out there agree the Chinese are coming closer to the United States? That's what one of our guests just had to say. 1-800-723-8029.
When you're really in pain, everything seems to add to it. Relief can't come fast enough. Now there's new Bayer quick-release crystals, a whole new form of pain relief from Bayer that dissolves quickly on your tongue. With an extra pain-relieving booster, it's ready to go to work faster than caplets or tablets, which take time to dissolve. So before you know it, you're feeling a whole lot better. New Bayer quick-release crystals with a bold citrus taste. Just rip, pour on your tongue, and expect relief fast. Take with water as directed.
Hey, Mini Dealer.
Hi.
I heard every Mini has no-cost maintenance, but does that really include the important stuff?
Try me.
Brake pads.
Included.
Air filters.
Included.
Oil changes.
Included.
Brake rotors?
Included. Look, I can include stuff for 3 years, and that could save you up to $1,100 over our competitors.
Wiper blade inserts.
No, that's not included.
Really?
I'm just kidding. They're included.
Wow.
Boot to Bonnet no-cost maintenance covers 3 years or 36,000 miles, and it's only from Mini. For details, visit miniusa.com/info.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. We've got Joe listening to us on the internet tonight on Line 6 from San Diego, and he's got some experience in North Korea. Go ahead, Joe. You're on the air.
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me. And just listening to the last 5 minutes of the conversation, many of your assumptions are correct. We've had since 1953 to figure out, you know, how we're going to respond to many of these situations. And, of course, the nuclear scenario has just come into play this last 10 years.
Right.
My personal experience was with, I spent 15 months in Korea in the military with 8th Army Special Troops Command in a unit whose sole reason for being there was in response to a scenario like this. We have really good, strong plans for dealing with something like this, but I also believe that you're giving the North Korean Army a little bit too much credit and the ROK Army or the South Korean Army not enough credit.
Okay.
These people are extremely well-trained, and we've got a huge industrial infrastructure in South Korea that North Korea doesn't have. So, you know, once you get across that South Korean border, you've got supply lines and other logistical nightmares that I personally do not believe that the North Koreans can sustain for very long.
But my question to you, Joe, is if somebody in North Korea decides that they want to engage and fire some missiles of significant destruction into South Korea, how much time does South Korea have to react to that? And do they have the ability to shoot those missiles down? Or in the scenario that you think is most likely, I mean,
well,
you know, is this more than just a firing of missiles? It's a movement of troops as well, is it not?
Yes, it's a movement of troops. And, you know, I can't comment on how quickly we fire down missiles. And if we could, there will be some damage. But the response to that, I think what plays in our favor is the North Koreans' elite love for power. And they know if they did something like that, the response from, you know, the world would be that, you know, where they would not have power anymore. And I'm not sure they're willing to give that up at this time. So, but in terms of military response, we're very well suited with our Navy and our Army and with somebody mentioned some tactical weapons that could be of use. Those are all at our beck and call.
And also
could
just
be used immediately.
As long as the president agreed.
You'd need to get President Obama to say,
go do it.
There's no doubt about that, and I believe that there's no doubt that the North Koreans are playing to a U.S. president who seems to be a little bit more diplomatic in his approach to these types of scenarios than would a George Bush. But in the end, personally, I think we should let our intelligence just keep an eye on things, make sure that we have all of our contingency plans in place in case they do pull the trigger. But other than that, just leave them alone.
So you think we should wait until they pull the trigger? We shouldn't stop them from pulling the trigger by knocking out this train carrying the missile?
It's all a bluff. You know, there's a two-year-old of countries in the world. And what do you do with a two-year-old? You just let them whine and cry. They're not going to shoot it. I just really don't think they are.
Joe, they've been shooting the missiles. The missile that they're moving right now may not be aimed at Seoul, but they've been shooting missiles long range and short range. Intermediate range and short range. They haven't tried their long range, and their long range missile, the one that we know they have, apparently might possibly reach the Aleutian Islands. It would not reach California, but they could easily take out Japan or major portions of Japan with the missiles that they have, and they have shot them. Why not take out one of their missiles and see if they are willing to risk total
annihilation? What would be their gain, Marty? What would be their gain?
The North Koreans understand that a launch of a nuclear weapon would be the total annihilation of their own nation.
So you think they're rational enough to understand that?
Yes.
And Marty, you said just a few moments ago you think they're rational.
I think they're
because they've been skunking
rational.
The United States.
They've been picking our
pockets for
15 years.
So my question to you would be, why would they risk the loss of all of that by engaging in a nuclear war with Seoul or Japan or the United States?
I'm not saying that this missile that they're queuing up right now is going to be aimed at Seoul. It'll be aimed somewhere. It'll be shot somewhere. And what it really is, it's a bargaining chip for them. This is something, if they successfully launch another missile, it's something they can sell to other people and then deny that they even did it. if they sell it to the Pakistani rebels or whatever, and they use it, we'll have this prosecutorial thing of, can we prove that they sold it? And do we have a chain of evidence? You know.
Let's go to Joe and Gurney, also listening on the internet tonight. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, the target's going to be Japan if it's going to be anybody. I mean, that's why they launched their missile over Japan. That was the direction that their test missile went. They're sending a message that Japan is the target in the event of a war.
And well, I think they would attack Korea too, South Korea, because that's where the troops are that could actually invade them. If they shot a missile over South Korea to Japan, all of our troops would still be alive and on the ground.
Joe disagrees, right, Joe?
Sure. South Korea, the goal with South Korea is to reunify.
That's been the great theme
of North Korea for the last 60, 50 years, whatever. Invading the country, destroying its infrastructure, assuming that they had the ability to do it, would be a catastrophe for them because they want to acquire the economic wealth.
But they both don't like Japan.
They don't care what happens to Japan. They're still angry about World War II. Invading Japan is not the goal either. It's simply reaching out and punching them.
So what happens? What happens with China? And what happens with Russia and what happens with the U.S. if that?
Well, that brings in the economic interests of those countries as well because they all have ties with Japan. Everybody takes it in the shorts if Japan gets hit by North Korea. It behooves Russia and China to rein in North Korea because their economies will take a hit like you wouldn't believe if Japan goes under.
But that's been true for the last 6-8 years, and China and Russia have done nothing. They've, in fact, any time there's been even a resolution introduced in the U.N., they've vetoed it. What is it about China today that tells you that they're going to turn 180 degrees right now?
North Korea has never come so far as to launch a missile over into Japan airspace. That's an act of war.
They did that 2 months ago,
Marty.
Yes, they did. That's why it's getting tense.
And what was China's reaction? They said, don't do anything to them. Don't pass even a resolution condemning it.
And the American...
Right now, what Russia and China are trying to do is play the cop with the barking dog aggressively going after the other guy. They're holding back the dog. North Korea is the dog. China and Russia are the cops with the canine unit.
John.
They're the ones that are trying to scare everybody else.
I think Carol's analogy to the 2-year-old was a good one. Marty Garrity, you need to spend more time with your grandchildren or something. Realize how obstinate and irrational people can be. No, I think the threat is real, but it's one of North Korea invading South Korea. That would be the only thing I think to get excited about. And I think the last two callers who seem to have something on the ball.
Go ahead.
But ultimately, if I can just get this last thought. Ultimately, I think the only end of this solution is to open up North Korea intellectually, so that people there can understand that they're a century behind the West in terms of affluence and living standards. And I think once that happens, the whole curtain will come down. And as we see what's going on in China now, they're taking more and more of a Western attitude toward things as they see what the Western system has produced.
Remember where they got this technology in the first place. They bought it from China, which in turn bought it from the U.S. over the objections of our own State Department and our own Defense Department back in the mid-1990s. That's where this technology came from.
Oh, you see, it's Clinton's fault.
It is. Well, everything is Clinton's
fault. You're talking about the
that's where it came from, Loral Aerospace.
The Loral. And yeah. Bernie, what's his name? Bernie...
Marx or no, not Marx.
No.
But anyway, actually, I think it was the Defense Department was against it. I think the U.S. State Department was in favor of selling that technology to China.
All right, we're going to move on. Thanks very much, Sally in Chicago. Go ahead, you're on the air. Sally, go ahead. I guess Sally is not there. Is Jim there in South Bend, Indiana? Do we have anybody? Well, that's nobody. How about another line? Just hit a line, folks. I'll talk to anybody. Hello, you're on the air.
David here. Can you hear me?
Dave, you sound terrific.
All right. I'm glad somebody thinks so. I have an experiment. I've watched Team America, which I think is one of the funniest movies I've ever seen.
I couldn't agree with you more.
And I've watched it with a liberal brother, and I've watched it with a liberal friend. They couldn't laugh at it. And so I took I took a video of Kim Jong-il singing I'm So Lonely, and I put it up on a political posting board. And I invited the people in this particular thread to look at it and laugh at it. And I said, you can't even define evil, let alone laugh at it. Not one liberal came back to me and said that they found it funny. One kid said to me, what did you do when you saw it? He says, I yawned and fed my cat. I don't know. These are people in our own country. These are fire-breathing liberals, and they cannot condemn. They can't say a bad word, or they can't see this evil little puke being lampooned.
It's one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. Team America. It's very obscene. Don't watch it with the kids, but it's a great movie. 1-800-723-8029. Back shortly from Chicago.
Hey, over here.
What?
Yeah, it's me. The printed internet directions you crumpled up and left in the back seat. What's with the cold shoulder lately?
Oh, right. I'm sorry. I got a TomTom GPS.
What?
Yeah, I kind of got tired of risking my life trying to read you while driving. So now I just plug in an address and TomTom gets me there much faster with clear spoken directions.
Well, that's dumb.
No, what's dumb is the 18 steps you give me just to get out of the driveway.
I was just being thorough.
Say goodbye to printed internet directions. Say hello to TomTom.
When it comes to working around the house, never underestimate the value of getting it done right the first time. At your local Ace Hardware, our associates are always ready with expert tips on the smartest ways to get the results you're looking for. We'll give you simple, straightforward advice that will help you save time and money. So the next time you're thinking about starting a project, consider the value of having everything you need just minutes away at your neighborhood Ace, the helpful place.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. Thanks very much for joining us. We're going to go back to calls in just a moment. But we were discussing during the break, since we have a couple of journalists with us this evening, we were talking about the demise of so many newspapers all over the United States and cutbacks at great newspapers like the Chicago Tribune, newspapers bordering on bankruptcy. Some of them have gone through bankruptcy. Many papers in cities that are carry this broadcast. Perhaps your newspaper is on the brink of extinction as well. And I would just like to take a moment tied into what we're talking about this evening. We are really in the last hour. We have been talking about a very serious issue and an issue that really Americans could die because of what happens in North Korea. And yet the awareness of what's happening in North Korea and the awareness of some of these realities is not something that's very top of mind. It's not like, you know, there's been no discussion like, you know, the Adam Lambert controversy over American Idol. I mean, it's viewed as not very important. We've got some calls this evening. They're not off the hooks to this evening. But my question is, as newspapers are diluted, are you worried that people are not going to be as informed as they should be? Or John McCarron, as a longtime print journalist, are you satisfied that the thirst for information and the availability of information through the internet is as strong or maybe even stronger? And are we well informed? Are you worried about that we're not going to be informed about issues?
I'm very worried because the internet per se is not mining information, raw information, and putting previously hidden information into the public domain. That was done by newspapers and to some extent network television reporters and the news services, the Associated Press and whatnot. I mean, it's not going to be done by Google or Yahoo or whatnot, or at least they haven't shown any inclination so far to spend money mining news and putting new information in the public domain that we can get all excited arguing about on talk radio.
But don't they put raw information?
Well, you can do in the internet that, of course, you couldn't used to do is go into public records and actually find out who owns what and who contributed what to whom. I mean, and that's a good thing that the internet is brought to the public sphere. But in terms of a business model that will support having a correspondence in Northeast Asia in Tokyo and Seoul and whatnot who are close to this and can give us some analysis. I'm afraid we're going to be doing without within a very few years.
But insofar as someone who is, again, is following this discussion this evening, they could be going on the Internet. They could be looking up things as basic as Wikipedia. And I know there's a lot of downside to Wikipedia as well. But they could be going to Wikipedia and they could be learning about the strength of the North Korean army. They could be learning about the ramifications, what happens, all kinds of what if games are played on the Internet. So does the Internet end up being a significant plus to one's thirst for knowledge?
As long as that information about the relative strength of forces and whatnot is somehow put in the public domain for Wikipedia to find, and I'm suggesting that a lot of what we know out there has been originally mined and put in the public domain by paid journalists who are about to become an extinct species.
Carol. First of all, the Internet allows people to get customized news. Americans, and particularly Americans of the younger generations, are, in my experience, not interested, not turned on by international news. So I can get headlines from the Washington Post or the New Republic or any news source that I want that is adapted to my interests. And my interest might be solely politics. It might be entertainment. It might be whatever. So you have that problem. Also, I don't think that these international situations take hold on most people until something happens. So after 9/11, we knew all about Afghanistan and Pakistan, and we know about Somalia and the pirates because it was a nice, sexy story that was out there. But who knows about North Korea? I bet if you ask most people, they wouldn't know the difference between North and South Korea.
Our young people get most of their news from Jon Stewart. It's a sad state of affairs, but they learn more about what's going on in the world from Jon Stewart and actually from Jay Leno and David Letterman than they do from David Brinkley or I guess I'm
I know you're showing your age, buddy.
Bob Schieffer, whoever. Yeah. They're not paying attention to those kinds of things unless Jon Stewart and Colbert are doing it.
Let's go to Simon listening to us on Sirius Radio. Go ahead, nice to have you with us listening in Los Angeles tonight.
Hi. Yeah. I'd like to comment what you guys just talked about right now. I mean, unfortunately, I think what you're talking about is part of like the bad side of capitalism, and people, younger generations, love entertainment news. They love the things that are a little more fluff. And, the people that sell the magazines and everything that encourage that, they're there to make money. And that's what they're going to put on. They're not going to put on these things about international news because it has no relevance towards their day-to-day lives.
Right. Consumerism is the greatest ism of our life.
Yeah.
We live in a society where consumerism is really more important than anything.
Yeah, true. And unfortunately, news journalism is becoming a casualty of that. And I hope we are able to find some type of solution that is able to fix that or bring people more into the fold, because I do think these things are very important. That's one of the reasons why I'm calling to talk to you about it.
Well, I appreciate it. And by the way, consumerism, and you're listening to us on Sirius radio, I mean, that in itself is an example of consumerism. I mean, it was an idea to create a product that gave people what they wanted when they wanted it, and they could turn to a particular place to hear exactly what they want, and you pay a subscription fee for the right to do it, and you feel, obviously, I assume you do, that you feel that you're well informed and you're getting your money's worth.
Where are you tonight? What city are you in?
Right now I'm in Beverly Hills, actually, right now.
Very good. Well, listen, why don't you head over to the Ivy for dinner? We'll join you there in a few hours, okay? Thanks very much for joining us. That's Simon on Sirius Radio, listening to us in Los Angeles tonight. Marty Garrity, thank you very much for joining us. Our card-carrying conservative, John McCarron, our liberal from Northwestern University, the Medill School of Journalism, and longtime reporter and contributing columnist for the Chicago Tribune. And Carol Felsenthal, author of the book Clinton in Exile. Also, you can read her every thought, no thought, unstated, on the Huffington Post. Our thanks to Kevin Fuller and Tom Veracruz for their assistance in the production of this program. I'm Bruce Dumont. Good night from Chicago.
The credit card companies were calling all the time. It was very stressful. It was really a cloud hanging over our heads. How would you like to wipe out 30 to 60% of your credit card debt? There are secret programs most credit card companies won't tell you about that can allow a portion of your debt to be forgiven. Financial Freedom of America uses these programs to help you avoid bankruptcy, save thousands, and get more cash back in your pocket every month.
I wasn't sure what to expect, but FFA came through like promised. We're kind of excited to have that stress-free feeling now.
Call for your free, no-obligation evaluation, and FFA will give you the steps to eliminating a large percentage of your credit card bills, medical bills, or department store debt. Individual results vary, and it's not available in all states. So call for your free information now. 800-792-4065. 800-792-4065. Call 800-792-4065. That's 800-792-4065.
Men, did you know your prostate can affect your quality of life? It can affect your urine flow and stream, and it might even affect intimacy. Don't ignore the importance of your prostate. See your doctor for checkups and take all-natural Beta Prostate. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-394-5598. Don't put off this important phone call. With Beta Prostate, your satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. Call 1-800-394-5598. That's 1-800-394-5598.
Hello?
Brian, dude, it's me, Rush Hour Traffic.
Who?
Rush Hour, man. We used to meet up every day right after work.
Oh, yeah. Listen, Rush Hour, I have a TomTom GPS now.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it has this feature called IQ Routes that knows all your regular patterns and habits, so it finds me the fastest way to get home and, avoid you.
Well, we had some laughs, didn't we?
No, we did not.
Say goodbye to Rush Hour Traffic. Say hello to TomTom.
Hey, Mini Dealer.
Hi.
I heard every Mini has no-cost maintenance, but does that really include the important stuff?
Try me.
Brake pads.
Included.
Air filters.
Included.
Oil changes.
Included.
Brake rotors?
Included. Look, I can include stuff for 3 years, and that could save you up to $1,100 over our competitors.
Wiper blade inserts.
No, that's not included.
Really?
I'm just kidding. They're included.
Wow.
Boot to Bonnet no-cost maintenance covers 3 years or 36,000 miles, and it's only from Mini. For details, visit miniusa.com/info.
I'm Carl Edwards. As a NASCAR driver, I can't let allergies slow me down. That's why I use Claritin. It works hard on my toughest allergy symptoms. And unlike many other allergy medicines, it won't make you drowsy. For me, Claritin really is the perfect allergy medicine. Stay alert, stay focused. Live Claritin Clear with non-drowsy Claritin.
Right now, you can get 10 free Claritin tablets for 10 free days of non-drowsy allergy relief with the Claritin 30 plus 10 bonus pack. 10 free tablets, 10 free days of relief at a store near you. Use as directed.